Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Saturday. He's armed with a week's worth of talking points and got up early for your listening pleasure. So kick back and enjoy all the immensity, the potency, and the intensity that is the Robin Lundberg Show. Here's the man so charismatic, we named the show after him, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. It's been a long week. I think we could all agree on that. Been a long week. But I got good news. There are NFL playoff games today. That is good news. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, maybe not the most important thing. But to us, in our world, and what we care about, very important, right? NFL playoff games. It's almost surreal that the NFL playoffs are here. I mean, time and space, I think I've mentioned this on the show 100 times, are completely warped in the current day and age. You know, March feels like yesterday, but at the same time, 20 years ago. the start of the NFL season snuck up on us, and the season happened, and, you know, there was games postponed and moved, but they played them all, and, you know, the NBA was going on at the same time as the NFL, the NBA Finals, Major League Baseball, same thing. But we're here. The NFL playoffs and Super Wild Card Weekend. Super Wild Card Weekend. It's not just a normal Wild Card Weekend. It's not even a big Wild Card Weekend. It's not even extra Wild Card Weekend. It's not even, you know, giant Wild Card Weekend. It's, you know, not even powered while we're, I don't know. It's Super Wild Card Weekend because there's, you know, some extra games. Given that the more teams made it to the playoffs this year in each conference, and today you've got the Colts and the Bills, the Rams and the Seahawks and the Buccaneers and the Washington football team. That last one, kind of intriguing to me. Tampa, 8-point favorites, and as they should be, given, you know, their offense compared to Washington's offense. But Washington's actually equipped defensively to play against Tampa, so I want to see how that goes. But before we get to the playoff games, I want to talk about a situation in the NFL that has to do with a playoff team from a year ago. Feels like a long time ago that the Texans were good enough to be in the playoffs, but they were just last year. In fact, the Texans playoff game last year is the game that fully cemented Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to me. Because if you recall, Texans were up 24-0 in that game. Chiefs come back, they win it 51-31, which was a commentary, I think, mainly on the Chiefs, but obviously did not bode well for where the Texans were headed. Maybe we didn't see that at the time. Maybe you just thought it was one blown, you know, lead. More than a blown lead. It's like a reverse blowout. The blowout went from one way to the other way. I've never seen anything really like that. But it turned out to be a bit of a foreshadowing of things to come, because the Texans come out this year and just have an abysmal year. 4-12. They trade DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason. The coach gets fired in the middle of the season, and they just never found their rhythm. I mean, they started the season 0-4, again, finished 4-12, and J.J. Watt, he was mic'd up, and you could see him talking to Deshaun Watson, the quarterback of the Texans, at least for now, and told him, hey, we wasted a year of your career. And that's a big statement in the NFL, right? I mean, it's a big statement in anything, in any walk of life. Nobody wants to waste a year of their career. But in football, where you have a finite amount of time, you never know when the next play is going to be your last play. And he told him, we wasted a year of your career. And you know, those words probably resonated with Deshaun Watson, because I'm sure he was extremely frustrated. And that frustration continues to boil over, and now we know, or we at least have a lot of reporting, that Watson is more than just frustrated with the team's performance this year. He's frustrated with the organization as a whole. And, you know, there have been various things that have come out about the Texans this year that have made you question how they're run. Sports Illustrated did an expose on Jack Easterby, who's within their organization and has apparently caused a lot of problems within. And then, you know, Deshaun Watson, after the season, apparently had, or not after the season, but in the midst of everything, had been in communication, basically hoping that he would have some input on the hiring of the GM, the hiring of the coach, or at least be in the loop, you know, that kind of thing. And they go out and they hire a new GM from New England. And apparently he was not aware, or that was not, you know, something that was communicated or he was kept in the loop about. And then, you know, with the coaching, you have the same deal going on. I don't know the exact, like, so these are always difficult topics, because we don't know the exact truth or exactly what's going on or what isn't communicated. I'm just going off what the reports say. And Nick Caserio, who comes in as GM, when that hiring went down, Watson tweeted something sort of cryptic, some things never change. So I wasn't sure if he was, you know, to be honest, when I saw that tweet, I wasn't sure if he was referencing the disgraceful events at the U.S. Capitol this week, or if he was, you know, referencing the more trivial aspect of that in his professional life in the Houston Texans. And we found out, at least according to Adam Schefter, that it was about the Texans, and the timing of that tweet did, in fact, you know, dovetail with the hiring of the GM. Now, we'll see where it goes from here, but they've apparently tried to reach out to him and haven't heard back from him, and clearly his frustration has boiled over to a tipping point where there's even been talk about Watson demanding a trade, which is much more often something we see in the NBA than we see in the NFL. It's more difficult to pull off those sort of trades in the NFL. And also, you know, quarterbacks of his caliber just don't get traded. That that's just not a thing, right? I mean, I'm trying to think of an example of that even happening, of you know, something like that even going down, or a comparable situation, and maybe somebody can help me out, but it escapes me. And what's wild to me is the Texans organization, like, you've got the rarest commodity in the sport, the most difficult, or the most, let's at least say the most precious commodity in the sport, a bona fide top shelf quarterback. Shouldn't you be doing everything you can to appease that? Like, how does it get to the point where you piss them off that much? How's that even possible? Like, there's almost a level of arrogance that has to be present for that to happen. I don't know Deshaun Watson. I don't know what he's like behind the scenes. I don't know if there's anything he could have done that, you know, is him blowing things out of proportion or whatnot. But from what I've read, his desires seem fairly reasonable. Just to be a part of the, not make the decision, but be in the loop, be consulted, have his opinion valued, those sort of things. And he's earned that for what he's done with the franchise or his performance. I mean, team record is not a quarterback stat, but we generally use it to evaluate quarterbacks to a certain extent. And I don't know if I've ever seen a disparity in team record and quarterback performance like Deshaun Watson's this year. The team was 4-12, not good. Watson was excellent, like by any measure excellent. 70% completion percentage. Threw for 4,823 yards, which led the NFL. Mainly because Patrick Mahomes didn't play the last game of the season, but nevertheless, led the NFL. 33 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions. A great touchdown-to-interception ratio. He actually, when targeting the end zone this year, Deshaun Watson threw 20 touchdowns and no interceptions. He's also obviously a threat with his legs. Ran for 444 yards, 3 other touchdowns on the ground. So, I mean, you can't argue with how well he performed on the field. You just can't. So this goes down and you start to wonder, all right, I mean, could this guy actually be on the, is this a possibility that they could consider trading him? And then where would he go? What would it take to get him? I mean, you could just play the game of, if you could put Deshaun Watson on any team, what team would you pick? I mean, imagine if Deshaun Watson was on, say, the Rams. How much differently would you be thinking about them if you swap Watson for Goff? And then you go to, you know, some of the worst teams that would be thinking about putting together. Let's say the Miami Dolphins offered Tua Tagovailoa and, you know, some first-round picks. Or, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, this year's the number 3 pick in the draft. I think that's what they have this year. And, you know, a future first and 2 second-rounders, something like that. Or the New York Jets offered the number 2 pick in the draft, Sam Darnold, and a future number 1 and 2 future number 2s or something like, or, you know, yeah, I can't, I don't, I'm not a draft pick Rolodex. I don't have everybody's draft situation for now, this year, and the next however years in my head. But you start to get to those packages. Because you wonder, how many quarterbacks would you actually take over Deshaun Watson? I mean, this is why, ultimately, I can't imagine the Texans actually trade him unless he just is so angry and tells them, look, I'm not playing for y'all. Something like that, which I don't think it'll get to that. Sometimes players are frustrated and it can be repaired. I don't have faith in the Texans organization from everything I've read about them. But if I had to guess, I would guess this, you know, boils over and he's on their team next year simply because how in the hell do you trade a quarterback of his caliber? I can't remember a comparable situation where a 25-year-old quarterback of his caliber was just dealt. I mean, and how many guys would you legitimately take over Deshaun Watson for sure? How many? I'd say I take Patrick Mahomes, I take Russell Wilson, I take Aaron Rodgers. That's 3 that I take for sure, given what they've proven, given where they're at now. Okay. And this is, I'm not even talking about building for the future. I'm just talking about like right now. And then that's where the argument starts. I mean, I could understand if you say those are the only 3 you take over Watson, period. I could also accept if you say, hey, now I take Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen only has 1 year like this, but it does feel like a year of ascension for him. And he's had a spectacular year. He's super talented. I could, you know, hear an argument from Lamar Jackson, obviously, given that he was the MVP a year ago and he didn't have the best start to this season, but all of a sudden the Ravens seemed to figure things out as the season went along. I guess I could still hear an argument for Tom Brady based on respect and the season that he had this year. He had a hell of a season for a 43-year-old, but at that point, that's it. I think those are the only ones I'll even hear out. So let's say Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers. I'll take over Watson. I think the real argument starts at Josh Allen. I would consider or entertain the arguments for Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady. So at worst, that makes Deshaun Watson a top seven quarterback in the NFL. And really, I think if you're, you know, we're being objective and I'm hearing out the arguments, but ultimately rendering my judgment on him, a consensus top five quarterback in the NFL. So when you get a top five guy, or at least somebody who sure as hell played like a top five guy this season, despite a 4-12 record, upset and people wondering about possible trades, that, you know, is going to get people buzzing. See, any possible way that they trade Deshaun Watson? Is that something that could happen? Where would he go? And how many guys would you actually take over Deshaun Watson in the NFL right now? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We'll get to all the games that are being played in the NFL today, of course, because, you know, I know it is the playoffs, like I said, at the top. And Watson, one of the reasons he's frustrated, probably because he's not playing today in the playoffs. I want to talk a little bit about something that happened in the NBA last night, too, which was just affirming something we already knew about one guy and affirming maybe something we knew about one team, both high profile, that is. But Deshaun Watson, what do you make of that overall situation? How many QBs would you take over him? Where do you think he goes? Or is this situation simply resolved internally? I have to think they can't really be trading him, right? He's not actually going to get traded. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Making weekends great, one Saturday at a time. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio on this here morning. It's a good morning. NFL playoff morning. Long week. We got something to look forward to. It's nice. 855-212-4227. We're talking to Deshaun Watson. What you think might happen there. How many quarterbacks you'd actually take over the guy. Brian Anders tweets in, Justin Herbert? No. I mean, look, Justin Herbert had a tremendous rookie season. No, I'm not taking anything away from him. But he has not accomplished enough to be mentioned in the same breath as Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady. I mean, that. And I actually, like, I don't think you have to wait, you know, to anoint or put guys in the conversation when you're talking about the now. You know, like, for instance, Josh Allen. Let's use Josh Allen as an example. He's only a few years into his career, and this is his first truly elite year. But, you know, he's on the trend that you would expect, and he had a truly elite year with a team that's playing at an elite level and all that. And I think we've now seen enough, barring a regression, where you could say, all right, this is who Josh Allen is. Herbert was a rookie, you know, and if he's at this level, like, next year, all right, maybe then, you know, you see it. But I need a little bit more. I'm, like I said, I don't have to wait forever. You don't have to play 20 years for me to start putting you in the mix. But I need a little bit more of a sample size before I'm placing you in those kind of conversations. Let's go to Dustin in Illinois. Dustin, you're up first here on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on, Dustin?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Hey, always want to say thanks for keeping me entertained on my drives to and from work on the weekend, so I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you had a
happy new year and good holiday, dude.
Thank you. Same to you. Go ahead.
So Deshaun Watson, I'd probably put him, honestly, top five, definitely. I mean, there's an argument to be made for Rodgers and Brady and those guys, right? But 2 years from now, who are you going to want, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers? You know what I mean? So I think if I'm a team looking to build for the future, I'm absolutely taking Watson over, you know, maybe Mahomes. And you make a good point for Josh. But definitely going to take Watson, probably top three or four. So obviously from Illinois, big Bears fan. What can you imagine the storylines if the Bears were to try to get Deshaun Watson? They passed on him in the draft and then kind of try to right their wrong, so to speak.
Yeah, well, there's a few teams that I think that happened for. The Jets, Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Jets have a chance?
Yeah, they were one of them.
Yeah. Actually, let me find that there's some Curb Your Enthusiasm audio. I'm going to send it to you right now. See if you can grab that for me, and we'll play it about the Jets. But, yeah, I mean, if you're a Bears fan, coming full circle, there's a lot of teams that would want that. But, yeah, that would be a good story. I mean, Trubisky was taken in that – I mean, that's one of the things that's haunted Mitchell Trubisky, I think, more than anything else. The guy has not proven to be a bona fide NFL starting quarterback. He's probably also not been as bad as some of the jokes around him and all that stuff. But the real problem for him, and it's not his fault, but the real problem is Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were both in that draft. And he was taken,
right,
you know, where he was taken. So
they moved up from 3 to 2 to get him.
You remember, huh?
Oh, yeah. We all remember.
Yeah, that's something you'll never forget. I appreciate the call, man, and thanks for listening. I'm sure there's – look, when you say – if I ask the question, like, where do you want to see Deshaun Watson wind up, basically the answer is going to be my favorite team. unless you're a Kansas City fan, a Packers fan, or a Seahawks fan, right? A Ravens fan, I would say no Ravens fan wants to trade Jackson. Is there any other – I'm trying to think. Maybe a Charger – maybe I could make the argument for Herbert there as a Chargers fan because of what you just saw. You don't want to – is there any other team? I mean, because if you're a Buccaneers fan, you would still want to have Deshaun Watson given Brady's age. But I'll be as, generous as possible in ruling out teams. Anybody else? Is there any other team that a fan base wouldn't say, we want him? I don't think so. I'm not sure there's, I mean, Cleveland may have like a loyalty to Baker Mayfield at this point. But Watson's better than he is. Though Mayfield's had a nice season. I think that might be it. Kyler Murray. I could see Cardinals fans saying they want to keep Kyler Murray. Beyond that, and Josh, I forgot about Josh Allen, who I just mentioned before. So that at least two thirds of the league would say my favorite team is where I want to see him wind up. Let's go to David in Greenville, South Carolina. David, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. I appreciate you taking my call. It's only one team. It's only one quarterback, I think, that I would not give him up, wouldn't take Watson over, and that's Mahomes. And that's because he's proven it. But if you look at Watson's career, they got rid of one of the best receivers in the league this year. And the guy still led the league in passing, passing yardage. Had 33 touchdowns. I think he may have only thrown like 7 picks. Didn't have any type of defense, you know. So, of course, they're going to finish as bad as they did. And then he's been playing for Bill O'Brien all this time. Imagine if he get on a team that's got some real weapons, an actual running game, and a coach that knows what to do with him. Man, I don't see – it's not too many guys. Maybe Russell Wilson. I would take him over Aaron Rodgers just simply because of Aaron Rodgers' age. I mean, Deshaun's like, 24, 25 years old. But other than that, and the guy's got ice water in his veins. I remember, I'm from South Carolina, so, you know, I saw him play at Clemson. And, I mean, he took that program to another level and almost beat Alabama twice. Beat him one year, but he almost beat him the first year if Nick Saban hadn't did that onside kick and caught him off guard. But I think he is between him, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. And I do like the kid in Buffalo, but this is his first year really doing anything.
To me, that's where the real argument is. I think Josh Allen and Watson is a really good argument, and I could see either side of that point, because I think you raise a good one. Like, all right, we're going to say he's better than Deshaun Watson after one season. At the same time, you know, it's hard to dismiss one season that's an MVP caliber season on a team that, to me, outside of Kansas City, has the best chance to win the Super Bowl, probably, or to you know, or at least it has the best chance at unseating Kansas City in the AFC. And when you have a guy that's on a 13-3 team, and you have another guy who, you know, no shots at Watson's on a 4-12 team, I could certainly argue for Josh Allen in that, because you know, you do it that year, you show yourself, maybe that's just who you are going forward. But I can see the other side with Watson too. So I think there's a good argument between Watson and Allen.
It is, and the only reason why I personally would give Watson the edge is just because Josh Allen, they finally put some talent around him, so he had a great season. You still got to be a great quarterback to do that. But he didn't play as good when he didn't have that talent around him. Now, vice versa, when Watson had a great receiver, he put up big numbers. And then he doesn't have a great receiver now, and he still put up big numbers.
Well, you know what's odd, though? Watson was significantly better this year than he was last year by the numbers. He still had a good year last year. It's not like he was bad, but he had a better year across the board this year. Higher completion percentage, more yards passing, more touchdowns, fewer interceptions. Better quarterback rating, better QBR, by any way to measure a quarterback, he actually had a better season this year other than record, which went from 10-5 to 4-12. I mean, they were 11-5 the year before. So, the only knock on Watson this year would be record. But it's not like the guy hasn't been the quarterback on a good team before. We've seen it, or at least, you know, a playoff caliber team. The last two seasons, the Texans have won 11 and 10 games. So that's the all the proof you should need that the Deshaun Watson could be obviously the quarterback on a winning team.
Robin, it is crazy how bad the Texans were given the quarterback play. Like, it's tough to be that bad when you get that type of performance, because only four quarterbacks in history of the NFL have finished with more than 4,500 passing yards, more than 30 touchdowns, fewer than 10 interceptions, and more than 8.5 yards per pass. And those guys are Peyton Manning, which the Colts in 2004, they finished 12-4 that year. Aaron Rodgers in 2011, the Packers went 15-1. And then Matt Ryan in 2016, the Falcons went 11-5. And, of course, the other quarterback being Deshaun Watson. And as we know, 4-12 this year.
Yeah, that's why J.J. Watt said they wasted a year of his career. I can't really think of a comparable situation. I can't think of a situation where a quarterback played this well and his team was this bad, or, you know, if there's any rumblings of a trade, I can't think of a situation where a quarterback at this point, not before they played a game, not after they were, you know, had been with the team and there was time to move on or the team was going with the younger guy, but a quarterback smack dab in the middle of his prime, playing like a top five guy who we were talking about a trade for. Somebody help me out if there's a similar situation, but it feels very, you know, unprecedented in a sense.
It's the Robin Lundberg Show. Call Robin at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
You can call me there. You can tweet me at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. I see Home Alone 2 trending on Twitter. I was curious why I clicked on it. It's because a lot of people want to get Homeboy, who was removed from Twitter last night, him removed from the Home Alone 2 movie. I guess he has that scene in that movie. When I saw the first thing I thought of, because I mean, I don't know if I want to get in. You know, I'm not shy about talking about real world events, but I do think a lot of us want to, like today, like pump the brakes, take a breath, to talk about the NFL playoffs and stuff like that. Home Alone 2, though, my kids were watching it over the break, and man, I did not know how much of a sociopath that Kevin kid is. I mean, he's like He basically puts those guys, the robber guys, Joe Pesci and the other dude, in like a saw maze at the end. He sets up, he's Jigsaw at the end. I didn't realize how homicidal he was, I guess, when I was a kid. And I have to think of it in terms of almost like he's the roadrunner to their Wile E. Coyote. Because it's so cartoonish.
Yeah, if it was real life, those guys would be dead.
Of course they would be dead. I mean, nearly everything he did to them was potentially fatal. Not like just one of them. But like each trap, where he's like lighting them on fire and dropping like heavy pipes from 20 feet in the air.
Throwing bricks off the roof at them.
Yeah. Dude, homeboy got I was reserving the word homeboy for the dude who got banned for Twitter. Who's the other guy? Not to Joe Pesci, the other guy. He got
Marvin Harry.
Yeah, he got hit in the head with a brick like three times in a row.
Yeah,
I was like, I was shocked. I came in because you know my wife is always giving me like crap about like pro wrestling because I watch that with my son, and she's always like giving me some about like, oh, it's a violent. And I was like, what are you guys watching? I saw Home Alone 2 on the TV. That's worse than a steel chair. Good God Almighty. He's been broken in half. that was just funny to me when I saw that trend. I'm going to get right back to your calls in just a second. But I also wanted to say something about what Marco said in the update. You know, he was giving some of the scores from the NBA. LeBron James, everybody knows, there's the LeBron James mentioned for the show, what I think of him, and he's probably the MVP favorite in year 18, which is just absurd. I don't know if anybody saw what Steph Curry did last night, you know, hitting these crazy shots, the step back, dribble between the legs, mixer kind of stuff against Paul George, 38 points as they came back against the Clippers, and it was not that long ago people were wondering, can Steph Curry carry a team? It's just so weird. Like when you're talking about these guys and their greatness, you know, LeBron is held to such a absurd standard, and it's ridiculous the stuff that LeBron has gone through. You know, where people are questioning if he's a good parent because he's in the layup line, and like just the stuff that comes out of talk show host's mouth, talking head's mouth. There's one guy in particular who's made millions of dollars just saying absurd things about LeBron James. Well, you know, those things have created like a standard that some people want to uphold, because I've seen, you know, when I've said you can't really question Steph's greatness, people go, well, you know, what about the standard LeBron was held to? And I get it, because there was a point in time where some people were saying Steph was on LeBron's level, so therefore LeBron fans hear that and they go, well, he needs to be held to the same account as LeBron then. Why isn't, you know, he getting the same treatment as LeBron? And to me, I get that, but it's silly if you know that the way one guy was treated and that standard is absurd that you would then apply it. Like, because Steph Curry got slandered or criticized to a point that, yeah, it wasn't what LeBron has gone through, but it was ridiculous by any rational measure. And therefore, you know, because something's been done doesn't mean we should continue doing it if we know it's already wildly stupid. And Curry, you know, his game is just stupid. This guy is one of the all-time great players. You know, there are three guys playing in the NBA right now. Luka might get there. Giannis might get there. Some other guys might get there. But there are three guys playing in the NBA right now who are bona fide, cemented, all-time special legends, like top 15 kind of players. LeBron James, number one in my mind. Steph Curry, who, when you're talking all-time point guards, Magic Johnson is the greatest all-time point guard. Steph Curry, peak value. Are you taking any point guard over Steph Curry? And the guy changed the game. And Kevin Durant, 7-foot dude who can score from anywhere on the floor. You know, when you're talking about the you know, history of the game, there are three guys currently playing who are going to be mentioned next to anybody by the time it's all done, or, you know, next to the legends, the guys that you hold up. So I just recommend, you know, you get a chance to watch and appreciate those three guys. You should do it while they're still playing. 855-212-4227. We were talking about Deshaun Watson of course, his situation with the Texans. Let's go to Terry in Knoxville. Terry, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Terry?
What up? What up?
So what's good, man?
This out. You made some comments. For one, you talk about Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure I'm sold on Deshaun Watson the way you guys are, but I know that you guys tend to put people in the Hall of Fame after a couple of years anyway. So,
talk about things I've said instead of like making like the media monolith and you guys could, let's just address what is there something I said that you would like to
I'm just
pick
saying
up on with?
Like I don't see Deshaun Watson as being you saying that there's nobody you would trade for him. Well, it's not about that because
you have to look at
your system that you're in. What system do you type of run? If you don't have the linemen or the receivers, you have to look at the system that you're in order to say whether you would trade for Deshaun Watson. Well, I'm not saying Deshaun Watson is bad. Listen, I'm a Bears fan, so you know who my quarterback is.
Let's do a little exercise. I'm going to leave you on the line for a second.
Okay.
Forgetting what you would have to trade to get him and the fact that I doubt he gets traded, but if you're the Chicago Bears and you had a chance to trade for him, would you trade for him?
Listen.
Yes or no?
Bears, as a Chicago Bears fan, I would trade for almost anybody.
Okay,
over
Trubisky. The Bears, yes.
Yes,
if you were the Minnesota Vikings and you had a chance to trade for him, would you?
Yes, because I don't trust.
If you're the Detroit Lions, you had a chance to trade for him, would you?
I don't like Stafford.
All right.
So
if you are the Carolina Panthers and you had a chance to trade for him, would you?
Carolina Panthers. And Bridgewater. Let me see.
You think Bridgewater's better than Deshaun Watson?
I'm not going to say better. I'm not going to say the word better. I think he's just as good. You put the pieces around Bridgewater. Look at what Bridgewater did when he was with New Orleans.
Okay. What did he do when he was with New Orleans? That's a Bridgewater too far. You just went a Bridgewater too far. Teddy Bridgewater is average at best.
He's average at best.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's average at best.
I ain't mad at it.
And he won some games with New Orleans. No question. I think they were 5-0 with him last year, and he played pretty well during a 5-game stretch. But there is absolutely nothing about his career that would tell you that he is on.
Before he got hurt in Minnesota, he was on a fast track.
He was
killing it.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He had 14. Okay, his first year in Minnesota, 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. His second year in Minnesota, 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Because
threw for more than 3,200 yards. He played 16 games in his second full season and threw for 3,200 yards, 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Not killing it. Not by any measure of quarterback play killing it. So I was going to go through all the teams in the league, but if you're going to say you'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater, that's a pointless exercise. I guess I had a Bridgewater too far.
I said that he depends on what type of system you have. And
you need to reconsider your position. How about that?
No. Reconsider my position? Listen,
yes.
I'm a Bears fan. I'll take anybody in the league over Trubisky.
The position you just took on Bridgewater, no offense, is objectively wrong.
No, man, that's not objectively wrong. That is not objectively wrong.
You put it's objectively
a
wrong.
Around Bridgewater. And I guarantee you he'll light it up. The dude is a quarterback with talent. He is definitely a quarterback with talent. He needs some help. Yes, everybody do. But
he's not a bum.
He's a quarterback with
he's
talent.
Not a bum.
Yes, he's not
but
a
he
bum.
Does
That's
not
right.
have the talent that Deshaun Watson has. Come on, man. I appreciate the call. But, this is a good PSA. It's a PSA I've made this week. About more serious things. We need to start living in reality, right? We all need to start living in reality and dealing with things as they are, as they truly are, not warped versions of what they are. And the reality is that Deshaun Watson is a significantly better player than Teddy Bridgewater. Let's go to Steve in Sacramento. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Robin?
What's good, man?
Hey, guys. I'm the perfect caller to have after your last caller because, honestly, listening to him, I think he's delusional. I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, been a Seattle Seahawks fan since 1976, since they came in the league. I would right now trade Russell Wilson straight across for Deshaun Watson.
Russell Wilson, man, you can't just trade Russell Wilson.
No. You're doing, Russell Wilson's on the decline, and right now, if you've been watching the Seattle Seahawks, he's the weak link of the Seattle Seahawks right now. We barely beat the Niners last week. We barely beat the Washington football team.
I could understand if you're saying, going forward, projecting forward, you'd rather have Watson than Wilson just based on age.
Could you imagine Watson with DK Metcalf?
No. But look at how well Wilson played to start the season. And you're also talking about a guy who's proven. So, like, I don't like the fact that you're taking the last couple of weeks and then saying he's the weak link on the team.
Russell Wilson's the reason
that people have had any faith in the Seahawks at all over the last, half a decade.
But Russell Wilson's 32. I honestly believe he is on decline. I believe that he's more interested in social media, doing his podcast, doing posts and stuff on Instagram. I think that he's on decline, and with a 25-year-old like Deshaun Watson, if I was the Houston Texans, personally, I wouldn't even make that trade. I wouldn't trade Deshaun Watson straight across the world.
Again, that's not – I mean, it's not a realistic thing. And I appreciate the call. Thank you for the call. It's not a realistic thing that's going to happen. But that's a heck of a back-to-back calls. We got one who thinks Teddy Bridgewater is as good as Deshaun Watson, and then we got a Seahawks fan who's wanting to trade away Russell Wilson.
Because Watson's more active on social media.
Yeah, because Wilson's too active on social media. I didn't even know Wilson's active on social media because he, posts a corny video with Ciara once a week or something. Is that why? I don't know if I've ever watched I guess I have because I've seen people share him, but I never thought of Russell Wilson as a social media distraction. Oh, that Russell Wilson. Then his TikToks, whatever's going on. My goodness. Whew. What a start to a Saturday morning. You know what? I'm going to have to, I might have to compose myself. I might have to get my thoughts together. Take some deep breaths. I already did my meditation this morning and my breathing exercises. I do those every morning. But I might have to sneak a few ohms in during the break. Ohm. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.